Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Children's literature has always held a mirror on society. As social norms change and culture evolves, so too do the themes and characters in kids' books. And yet the role of the father figure, while pivotal, has largely remained stagnant and underexplored. That's according to a new study out of the University of Delaware, which examined depictions of fatherhood in nearly 40 award-winning children's books over the last two decades. And with Father's Day this weekend, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon sat down with the study's co-author, Bill Lewis, a professor in UD's School of Education, to learn more about his findings and the evolution of father figures in children's literature.
With Father's Day nearly here, there's no better time to talk about this study that you and Laura Cutler did. But Bill, where did this idea come from, you know, for the study? Why did you both decide to take a look at how fatherhood is portrayed and not just American children's literature, but Caldecott medal-winning children's lit?
I think that really where this research had its genesis was in the work that Laura Cutler was doing, particularly with her advisor, Dr. Rob Palkovich, from the college, who had recently retired. They were really looking at the changing roles of fathers and thinking about the ways that that fatherhood is actually, you know, kind of represented in media. I teach young adult literature at the University of Delaware, and I'm also really concerned about representation, and particularly the narrow representation that we oftentimes see of a variety of different characters in these books. And so, you know, when we started thinking really hard about fathers, we wanted to think about, you know, what roles are fathers playing? Where do we see them in these spaces in children's books? And really recognizing that it's important to consider these pieces because, you know, I think as fathers, I'm a father myself. I'm also a grandfather of two grandchildren. So I've been thinking really hard about it just as a personal question. But the fatherhood expectations have changed, right, over the last couple of decades. And we really wanted to see whether or not those representations of fatherhood are actually reflecting those particular, you know, changing expectations that we see. Unfortunately, what we found is that those representations have remained relatively stagnant over the last couple of decades, which is, which I think is actually a real challenge, right? As we start thinking about it, as a young adult, as a teacher of young adult literature, and a believer in the important power that literature can play, and the formative aspects of really engaging kids of all ages with literature. If we have continuing narrow representations, it can actually really be harmful to kids' understanding of the roles that they can play in society, and it continues to send a message that fathers don't really have a really big role to play in the development of children, which is incredibly harmful.
Right. And there's a number of things that I want to unpack with you.
Sure.
Just for our listeners out there, Caldecott medal-winning books have around the gold, silver, bronze embellishment on the cover. It's an award doled out by the Association of Library Service for Children for the most distinguished American picture book for children. Your sample size consisted of 38 Caldecott medal-winning children's books from 2000 to 2001 to 2020.
Yep.
So I am curious, what's the magic in those metrics? How did you land on examining nearly 40 award-winning books over the span of these two decades in particular?
Yeah, so actually, in our original research, we had originally identified over 80 books in there. Unfortunately, one of the things that we did is that for the inclusion in this study, we wanted to make sure that these picture books, of course, included a father. Unfortunately, less than half of the books that we identified as the Caldecott either winning books or honor books, is that less than half of those actually included an identifiable father figure at all. So, you know, when we start thinking about the roles that fatherhood plays and the representations of fatherhood in these books, it is actually a little bit concerning, right? When half of the books don't actually have a recognizable father at all, right? And that when we even look at the books later on, we see a little bit less. But it's really important to look, we wanted to look at some of the most recent decades of those books and to make some comparisons as we see sort of changes over time from 2001 until 2000 until 2020. And that's when we were kind of finishing that up. So we wanted to have like a good solid two decades that we can work with to not only give us a higher number of picture books that we can examine, but also to see whether or not those representations were changing over time. I think that we can say in the last 20 years that there's been a lot of work in thinking through how important fatherhood is and trying to impress upon men how important their role is in their child care, in their child's development. We see it in Dance with a Dad, and we see it with all these other, all these other kinds of all these other kinds of pushes to get fathers more involved. We wanted to see whether or not that was going to be actually evidenced in, these award-winning books, which are basically, there's a big economic factor with those, with that Caldecott Award, right? Like, they're very popular books. They're the ones that are also identified by librarians as one that they want to purchase. Those are the ones that go into schools. And so, thinking about those books and the influence that they have on children's literature as a whole is really important. So that's why we're really focusing on the Caldecott Honors. We wanted to focus on those two decades of books so that we can compare those, the most recent decade with the past decade, and to give ourselves also a few more books that we can actually evaluate as well.
Bill, as the world continued to turn over these past two decades, and as the expectations, as you mentioned, the responsibilities and the general role of the dad in our society has evolved, again, you found that the representation of father and fatherhood in children's literature just hasn't really changed that much. And that's in both who fathers are and what fathers do. That's basically their entire identity, to say the least. Can you walk us through then what exactly you found from representation to, again, their roles?
So Laura and I found that a number of like, I think, really important and I think really concerning trends. So first of all, we don't see fathers very much in a teaching role or in a child care role, right? We oftentimes see them as recreational companions who are outside doing adventurous things with kids, right? And this sort of reinforces this pattern that we've seen in the literature where other researchers have looked at honor books, and basically they see a really, they see a really constrained role for fathers as well, right? Fathers are companions, but they are oftentimes not feeding their children. They're not putting their children to bed. They're not engaging in these like hands-on childcare activities. I think in our study, Laura and I found that less than 25% of the fathers that were readily identifiable in those books are shown feeding their kids or putting their kids to bed. And oftentimes, the places that we see fathers are still, fairly limited. They're oftentimes outside the home in these outdoor locations that are indicative of sort of adventure or going on an excursion with kids. But again, we don't see that kind of home yard in the home, hands-on childcare with fathers. We also saw that was also, I think, really concerning was that the demographic representation of fathers was not super diverse, right? Like, most fathers were white, were white, or were presented in heterosexual relationships, and that also were like kind of in a tr like presenting as traditionally masculine. We saw no queer fathers in any of the books that we sampled, right? Even though we see an increasing amount of families with two moms or two dads, we didn't see any of that in our representation of fathers. And generally speaking, we did see some minority fathers, but those representations are also constrained, right? Oftentimes, if we see kind of Black fathers, they're oftentimes represented in this sort of struggle for civil rights or this struggle for freedom box representation, right? So we don't see like a lot of representations of like, hey, here's a Black father who's just going to the park with their kid, right? It's oftentimes this sort of single story about struggle against oppression. And hey, those books are really important, right? We need those books. But we also would love to see representations of minority fathers in a variety of different spaces, not always in this struggle against, social ills. We also saw the same thing from immigrant groups. It's a struggle and strife kind of representation. And again, like I said, these are important pieces. They represent an important truth about the experience of people and families in our society. At the same time, they get into that trouble of presenting a single story about a particular group. And we need to make sure that we see many stories about these groups, not just that single story.
What changes this dynamic in this portrayal? And I know you also mentioned the economic side of things and the publisher side of things, but what changes this kind of dynamic?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kyle. I think, you know, we really focus in the, Laura and I really focus in this piece on the publishing industry. You know, the publishing industry is going to be, you know, if they're rewarding particular kinds of stories and they're not rewarding other kinds of stories, people are going to write the kinds of stories that get rewarded, right? And that means that they get published and they get distributed and they get the advertising and they, you know, they get the awards. We're hoping that the publishing industry is going to sort of take up the mantle of responsibility to get more diverse voices and diverse representations out there in the public. And until that really changes, until those the publishing industry starts to recognize those, I don't think that we're really going to get any substantive changes, right? We're going to continue to get these more traditional representations. So that's the first thing. I also think, you know, that teachers also can play a role in this too. So I'm a, you know, I do work with pre-service teachers, and one of the things that I think that we need to be advocates for is for diverse representation in the books that we're going to be choosing in our classroom, right? So we have, I think we still have a certain amount of freedom to choose the particular kinds of books that we want to show. So if teachers are thinking thoughtfully, are being thoughtful about those representations and are kind of understanding that the publishing industry does have a particular bias towards particular kinds of stories, like we need to, I think, fight against that bias and put pressure on publishing companies to expand the types of books that we see multiple representations of diverse fathers and mothers and families.
Thanks to UD Professor Bill Lewis and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. And happy Father's Day to all the dads listening. And stay with us. We meet the author of the new book, Queering Rehoboth Beach, Beyond the Boardwalk, to discuss how Rehoboth grew into an attraction for queer residents and tourists. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.